You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday the 9th of May 2023 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, there really isn't that much news that's going on at the moment. There's more reports on the fallout, basically, from the coronation ceremony. There's been people complaining about how it was too white and the police arrested people that were trying to protest the king. They've actually apologised for that now, so I thought we could have a look at both of those news stories for today. Millions of people in Britain and around the world tuned in to witness the ancient traditions performed at the coronation of King Charles III. Yet, rather than celebrating the pageantry of the day, prominent leftists in the UK focused on something else. That the royal family is apparently too white. Now, the royal family and the monarchy is hereditary. It's all to do with your ancestry. And it's the royal family of the United Kingdom. And if you look at the ancestry of the nations that make up the United Kingdom, English, Welsh, Northern Irish and Scottish, they are all white. They're all ethnically European, Caucasian, Indo-European, whatever you want to call them, but they're not a sub-Saharan African, they're not Chinese, they're not Indian, they are ethnically British. And you could say, well, their ancestry goes back to Germany. Saxe Coburg is the name of the royal family. But the Germans are part of the extended family that the British nations belong to in the first place. I mean, you can go back to the Saxons, you can go back to the Cymry, and the Saxons and the Cymry were originally one people. So they're all part of the same extended family. And when you have royalty, royalty is supposed to marry other royalty. And the general idea was that, say, somebody from the British royal family would marry somebody from the Russian royal family, and then you would have peace between Russia and Britain because they both those countries had united their truce between one another through the marriage of royals. And that was the way that the royal family worked. So you would not expect the royal family to be anything other than white. I mean, we're not talking about people that are being elected here. We don't have a royal family that are supposed to represent the diversity of Britain, such as the way that the government is trying to represent the new diversity of Great Britain in various offices in the cabinet, and also to encourage more diversity into work positions, such as in the police, teaching profession, all that sort of thing. The royal family is something completely different. It's all to do with ancestry and hereditary titles. So you would not expect them to be anything other than white. And yet we've had people complaining about this. In times past, the monarchy in Britain has served as a central point for which people of diverse political persuasions could come together around and bond as fellow countrymen. And that's a good point. It's above the politics, it's above right and left. As we learned yesterday, the person of the king is really the embodiment of what it means to be British. Rather than having a constitution or something like that, what it means to be British is all bound up actually in the king. And I should imagine in days gone by, you would have been able to petition the king if you thought there was something wrong in the country, and the king would be able to put things right. Of course, now we just have a constitutional monarchy, so they don't really have that much power, but it is a symbol of Great Britain. It's a symbolism of the nation that we used to have this king that ruled over us, rather in the same way that the alpha male of the pack rules the pack or rules the pride. And it is something that you see in nature. There's always this alpha male that runs things, basically, and everybody is subservient to them. And that, I think, is the origins of monarchy. Of course, we also have the origins of why we had these families that were separate in the first place. And I think that goes back to this kingly line of Judah that I was talking about yesterday, who had two twin sons, Pharez and Zarah. And Pharez, I think it was, stayed in the Near East, and Zarah came into Europe. And that's where these royal lines go back to. You also have the idea that you had this alpha male that would be extremely physically fit, very, very good at fighting, but also extremely intelligent. And they would be given the best education, the finest of everything. And then they would expected to, even though they had all this finery and all this wealth, they would be expected to be extremely humble and to use that wealth in charitable ways. And we saw that with the coronation as well, where the king was given a sword with a point on it to symbolize justice. And then he was given a sword without a point on it to symbolize mercy. So he's supposed to use his wealth for the good of the nation. All of this is tied up in it. And the king is basically a symbol for this. And as a symbol for Britain or the United Kingdom, obviously he's going to need to be white, because the nations that make up the United Kingdom are ethnically white nations. Okay, we have people from all over the world here now that are citizens, but strictly speaking, they cannot actually be a part of these British nations, because they are already a part of other nations. The nation that they are a part of is determined by their ancestry, by their ethnicity. Okay, nowadays we have this modern interpretation of nation, which is this vague term that seems to include everybody that's actually a citizen. But what we're really talking about is citizenship there, rather than nation. And then you say nationality, and they could be part of that nationality. I guess that's where this confusion comes in. But the word itself, nation, goes back to natal. And natal means birth, and the nation is a people of shared ancestry, not a people that are all shared citizens of that country. So we have this confusion there, but that still doesn't detract from the fact that the king is going to have to be representative of those nations. And even if he's not specifically from those nations, if he has, say, German heritage or Russian heritage, then he is still of royal ancestry, and the royals ruled over all the various different European countries, but the royals themselves were interrelated, just like the nations in the European countries were interrelated and all part of this wider family. So the royal himself should, or the monarch himself should, unite the people regardless of what political persuasion they are, and particularly the institution of the monarchy, not so much the actual royals or the royal family, but the institution of the monarchy should unite everybody. However, leftists in the UK have increasingly tried to tarnish the institution which brought ideals of liberty and was central in stamping out slavery in the Western world as nothing more than a racist relic of the nation's colonial past. And I guess it wasn't surprising, but it was disappointing to find that the heads of the Commonwealth countries had called upon the king to make restitution for slavery and colonialism, and to pay reparations for slavery, when it was Britain that stamped out slavery, as it says here. And we're often told that Britain oppressed these other peoples in their countries, but we actually brought them, as it says here, we brought them the ideals of liberty, We also brought them the gifts and wonders of civilization. We put a stop to human sacrifice. We put a stop to cannibalism. We put a stop to slavery. And we educated these peoples in their countries so that they could then rule themselves in that same way and keep out the slavery and the human sacrifice and the cannibalism and all the barbarism that was going on in these countries before we went there. So, and when you look at the king and when you look at the monarchy, it's a symbol of those things. It's a symbol of the merciful side, as well as a symbol of the justice side, which would have been exemplified by things such as the Royal Navy blockading Africa in order to stop the slavery from going on and freeing the slaves and going into Africa and fighting against these Africans that were still enslaving their neighbours. I mean, this was still going on in Sudan at the time of Major General Charles Gordon. I recommend people check out our Greatest Britain's archive and have a listen to the life of Major General Charles Gordon. I mean, he was very, very anti-slavery, and it was still going on in Africa at his time, which I think was the very late 1800s, something like that. It makes it clear that Britain wasn't just stopping slavery in European countries and the colonies, but was also stopping slavery in Africa and improving the lives of the people that were in Africa. So it's a great shame that people look on it today and claim, oh, it's the royal family is a racist relic of the nation's colonial past. It's a symbol of the great history of Britain, and thousands of years worth of history is what it is a symbol of. Thousands of years worth of Britain existing as a country and existing as a people, and I guess probably about 1,000 years of existence as the United Kingdom. It was since the time of Edward I that Wales and England were united together as a kingdom, and a little bit after that that Scotland was included as a part of it. But I guess you could even go back to Brutus, the Trojan prince, and he was the ruler over the whole country. And you had Logres, you had Cymru, you had Albion up there in Scotland. So even back then, you had this these united groups, these united tribes that were ruled over by one sovereign. So that's what we're honouring here, is this great history that we have, and how long it's been going on for. Some on Saturday apparently could not hold back their vitriol for the royal family, or perhaps they couldn't resist using the large stage the coronation provided to spread their leftist and anti-white rhetoric. For example, appearing on ITV, Bridgerton actress Ajoa Ando commented on King Charles and his family, waving to thousands of supporters from the balcony at Buckingham Palace. "We have gone from the rich diversity of the Abbey to a terribly white balcony. I am very struck by that." And of course, there's been lots of condemnation of this. There's been lots of people writing into Ofcom saying how terrible this was. But she's probably used to being rewarded for saying things like that, because people do say things like that. They say, oh, the British government, the cabinet looks hideously white. And the response to that was Boris Johnson creating the most diverse cabinet that he could think of. You hear people saying that Disney movie was hideously white, or that documentary series was hideously white, terribly white. And they're all patted on the back for saying that. So I think she just slipped up here. She was expecting to be patted on the back, but because this was the royal family, and the royal family is defined by ancestry, and their ancestry is white, then it was a ridiculous thing to say, and it upset a lot of people. Ando, who was afforded the opportunity to become a successful actress on both sides of the Atlantic, and who happens to be married to a white man, author Howard Cunnell, went on to say, "I am also looking at those younger generations and thinking, what are the nuances that they will inhabit when they grow?" Interesting here that she's saying that it's terribly white here, this balcony. Yeah, she's married to a white man. And we often find this. We often find that people that complain about things being hideously white, black people, representatives of the black community or non-white community, they will also have white partners. And a lot of the black or non-white politicians that we see, they have white partners. I was particularly pleased to see that Rishi Sunak, he actually has an Indian wife, because that's quite a novelty for the non-whites that are actually in Parliament, because most of the time they actually have white partners. So, you know, I was pleased to see that Rishi Sunak was not going along with that, and he had married somebody from his own people, which is obviously a good thing. It's a commendable thing. Ando was far from alone, with the likes of This Is Why I Resist author and frequent critic of the royal family, other than fellow woke leftist Meghan Markle, Dr. Shola Moss Shog Bambimunu, who said the ideology of white supremacy is literally, metaphorically and symbolically the bread and butter of British monarchy, and superbly exemplified on Buckingham Palace balcony, while the multicultural, multi-ethnic, multi-race isms stay below where they belong. And lots of people criticise Dr. Shola for being anti-white and for saying all these things that are anti-white people, but she's basically just advocating for her people. She's advocating for black people. And the problem isn't so much Dr. Shola saying these things. The problem is that when we have people who are white trying to speak up for white people and for white people's interests, they get accused of being racist. So what we see is when Dr. Shola says things like this, she gets accused of being racist by people. And of course, she thinks she can't be racist because she says, well, black people don't have all the power in Britain, and you have to have power to actually be a racist. So she thinks that she can't actually be a racist. But the problem is people then accuse her of being racist, whereas what she's actually being is anti-white in what she is saying. And it's not so much a problem that she is anti-white. As I say, that the problem is that when we have white people that try to be pro-white and speak up for white interests, they get accused of being racist. Dr. Shola, who is often propped up by legacy media outlets to criticise the colonial history of the UK, went on to describe supporters of the monarchy as having a peasant mentality. This is this confusion here that sees it with the king and the people as somebody lording it over the peasants. That isn't the case. The king is supposed to have subjects. And if somebody is a subject, that means they're owned by the king, it means he's going to take care of them. You're not going to damage your own property, are you? You're going to take care of your own property. And that's why the subjects were seen as subjects. This peasant mentality that people shouldn't be looking up to the royal family. It's not so much looking up to them, but they should be setting a perfect example to the people so that they can be looked up to, so that they can be emulated. But again, that's something that's really sort of been lost today. We often see bad behaviour from the royals, and they don't so much as set a good example as the royals of the past did. People such as Alfred the Great or Canute the Great or Howell the Good. She continued saying, a spectacle of stolen wealth. You beg for crumbs while Charles reigns in tradition that put you in a chokehold, she wrote. What about this stolen wealth? I mean, is she perhaps referring to these Benin bronzes that we talked about the other day? They weren't stolen, they were lawful booty. We went in there and we stopped the kings of Benin, the Oban of Benin, from enslaving and sacrificing, because that's what he did with his slaves. He used them as human sacrifices. We prevented him from doing that. We stopped the slave trade, and we took these Benin bronzes as payment for doing that. It was lawful booty. And when you look at the wealth that Britain has, it wasn't stolen. In a lot of cases, we fought battles, and that's why we took these things as payment in war for having to go to war against people. And it's saying here this tradition that puts the people in a chokehold. Well, it was this tradition that enabled us to build the civilization that we had. And having a king was an essential part of the tradition within Europe, and we built Christendom, and the kings were supposed to obey Christian law, and they were supposed to ensure that Christian law was upheld in within their realms. And that is what enabled us to build everything that we have today. And I wouldn't call it a chokehold. People are not held in a chokehold by the king. She does like to say things that are controversial, I think. Ironically, even some white leftists got in on the act of criticising the king for his skin colour, with Dr. Charlotte Proudman responding to a picture of Charles being crowned in Westminster Abbey, saying, "What a beautiful photograph of white male privilege and entitlement. Sums up who rules our country." Well, it was the Queen that was ruling before him for 70 years. And is this privilege or is this hard work that has actually built everything that we have in Britain? I'd suggest that it's hard work that has done that. That's why we have this wealth here. And that's why people want to come here, is because we built such a good country. Reclaim Party leader and GB News host Lawrence Fox responded to her saying, "Perhaps you should quit your job and give it to one of those poor, stupid black people who have little chance of succeeding without your white benevolence." And of course, what he's doing there, he's not saying that black people are poor and stupid. He is implying that that is what she is implying with what she is saying. So he continued and said, "Hey Siri, define racism." So there's this bit here where people are accusing black people of being racist, when in actual fact what they're doing is being anti-white, if you go by this new definition of racism that people use. Dr. Proudman, who serves as the director of the woke campaign group Right to Equality, claimed that Fox's response somehow indicated that he, rather than her, thinks that black people are poor and stupid. "Everything that's wrong with white male privilege is right here." And Fox shot back, "I think that skin colour is incidental. You think it is crucial. Stop treating black people like they can only succeed with your benevolence. They are as smart and smarter in many cases than you are. Imagining yourself to be more privileged is the very definition of racism." And there is this mentality that we see amongst the left, where they think that they have to do everything for black people because black people can't possibly get by on merit. And, you know, they're okay, black people might have a lower average IQ, but there are still those amongst them that are at the top end of that IQ that do get by on merit, and they do very well at the positions that they have within society. But this is the problem that you have when you have multiculturalism. You have groups that are very different to one another, and they're not all going to be able to do as well as one another, particularly in a civilization that's been built by white people. You have a civilization built by white people, it's obviously going to be tailored to a specific people group. And then when you have these other people groups here, particularly blacks, they didn't build an equivalent civilization, did they? So they're going to find it a little bit more difficult getting by. And if you have everything based upon merit, then it means that they are going to find it very difficult to get by. But then if you have it based on merit and then you say that the reason why black people don't do so well is because of white racism, well, that's not true. And that just breeds resentment, because it causes the black people to think that the reason why they're not doing so well is because white people are being mean and horrible to them. And I don't think white people want to be mean and horrible to anyone. Well, let's also have a look at what I was saying about here, about these protests that happened as well on Saturday. Lefties in the United Kingdom are crying for freedom of speech after the arrest of a number of anti-monarchist activists in London. And as I said earlier, the police have now apologised for this, but I think they did the right thing. You've got a tradition there. I mean, normally everybody is impelled to shout out "God save the king," and he changed it. And he just said, "Oh, you know, if you want to say that, you can say that." But this is the day of our tradition. This is a tradition that happens once every 50, 60, 70 years. People might be lucky enough to see it once in their lifetime, possibly twice in their lifetime, and they don't want it to be ruined by people protesting against it. I mean, how can you protest against it? I mean, it's like protesting that somebody is the father of a family. You can't change it. You know, they are the father of that family, and there's nothing you can do about it. So what is the point of protesting about the king being king? He is the rightful king. As I say, you could be opposed to the person of the current king, but the institution of monarchy, that's what led to everything that we have today. You can't just change what's gone on in the past. And people have a right to see the coronation and see it how it was years ago, and to have people protesting against it would ruin that, wouldn't it? It wouldn't be anything like what has gone on over other years. Okay, it would register that some people weren't happy with it, but surely they can do that in another way without ruining it for everybody else. Hardline leftists in the UK are suddenly furious about a lack of freedom of speech in Britain after a number of anti-monarchist activists were arrested in London while protesting the crowning of King Charles III. Well, that just shows that they don't actually understand what freedom of speech is. Freedom of speech is freedom to criticise. It's not freedom to go out and protest and cause a public disorder while there is a procession or a coronation going on. It means freedom to criticise people in society, powerful people in society. I guess this is where this confusion comes in, because people say, well, black people don't have a lot of power in society. But we're not actually criticising black people when we're nationalists and we critique these sorts of things and bring up these differences. We're not criticising black people. We're criticising the government's policy on multiculturalism and immigration, which obviously affects black people, but that's what the criticism is. And we get told that we're inciting hate when we do that. So that's where the lack of freedom of speech comes in. It's not that people are told, well, on this one day of the year when there is a coronation, we want to prevent there being a breach of the peace. So if we see that you've got placards and horns and we can see that you're intending on breaching the peace on this day, then we're going to stop you doing it. You can protest the next day, of course. You can register your criticisms, and that's absolutely fine. And yet people on the left seem to think that this is a curtailment of freedom of speech. The real curtailment of freedom of speech is what's going on in places like Twitter and social media, where people that have right-wing views are being removed, even when they haven't broken the law. And then you end up with people that do end up with the police going after them for being critical of these groups within society that we're told don't have any power. Many progressives are now angrily pleading for free speech in the wake of the arrests, arguing that the detention of the activists is a signifier that the United Kingdom is drifting closer to authoritarianism. Yeah, I guess it is, but not in the way that that they think here. The way that our speech is curtailed, that we are prevented from being able to give our opinions on things that we want to give our opinion on, I think that's far more fundamental to what it means to be a human than just being told that you can't go out and protest against the king on this one day in a lifetime that he's actually having his coronation. Writing on Twitter, hard left Labour Party politician Zara Sultana described the arrests as deeply disturbing, with the arrests violating an individual's right to protest. Yeah, but what about the right of everybody else to not have the coronation disturbed? I mean, it was clearly a conspiracy to breach the peace that was going on here, and that's what the people were arrested under. But the police are now saying that they're going to drop all the charges, and they've apologised and said that they shouldn't have done this. But I think they should have done this. Otherwise, these people would have could potentially have ruined things for everybody else that wanted to have a celebration. It is deeply disturbing that organisers of the hashtag NotMyKing protest in London have been arrested this morning before the protest even began, she wrote. Whatever you think of the monarchy, the right to peaceful protest is fundamental to democracy. She went on to say, well, yes, peaceful protests, but not at the coronation. If you want to protest the king, you can have a protest on any other day in your lifetime, can't you? It doesn't have to be done at the coronation and ruin the coronation. Another prominent activist, Ash Sarkar, meanwhile described the move as an anti-democratic crackdown, asking netizens how they could possibly agree with the move, even if they did support the monarchy. Well, it's because people support the monarchy that they do support this. They don't want to have it interfered with. They don't want a breach of the peace. I mean, you've got also got concern about the horses that were all involved, and the horses could have got spooked. It seems that there was a plan to let off rape alarms And the people that were going to be handing the rape alarms out, of course, they were saying, well, we were just doing this to protect women. But the police had intelligence that they were going to set off this loud noise, which could spook the horses, which could cause serious injuries and serious accidents if those horses weren't able to be got under control. So the police were thinking ahead here, I think, and putting the safety of the people first. One Green Party member of the House of Lords, meanwhile, messaged the London Metropolitan Police, expressing hope that it was not true that arrests had been made, because freedom of speech is a cornerstone of our democracy, adding that she would hate for them to break that British tradition. Yes, but it's all these people on the left that are calling for that tradition to be broken, with this idea of incitement to hate. Instead of incitement to violence and it being against the law to incite people to go out and carry out violence, we have this incitement to hate, which translates into simply using old-fashioned terminology or abbreviating words, and that is now considered to be hate. And surely that is freedom of speech. Freedom of speech should be freedom to use whatever terminology you want to use to describe whatever it is that you can see. But they don't seem to agree with this. These people on the left and in the Green Party, they don't seem to understand that, and they think that preventing people from carrying out a breach of the peace on the day of the coronation, that is somehow freedom of speech. Or a curtailment of freedom of speech. However, while many activists are pushing for freedom of speech in the wake of the arrests, a number of those criticising the arrests either stayed silent or actively cheered on UK hate speech laws and arrests. For example, Zara Sultana has a history of cheering on digital censorship, with the left-wing MP sharing a post calling for the removal of some opinions on Facebook. And again, this is what I was talking about yesterday, this intolerance people nowadays have for people that simply have a different opinion to them. And they're being encouraged to be intolerant. And that is a different issue to causing a breach of the peace. Meanwhile, the Green Party politician has called for misogyny to be made a hate crime in Britain. So simply criticising women, they want to make it into a hate crime. They want to make it into a hate crime to compliment women. Some people compliment women by whistling at them, and some women like that, and they take that as a compliment. Others take it as an insult or could be hurt because they weren't whistled at. And again, if you get somebody who is not particularly good looking and they whistle at somebody, they could take offence at that as well. But it's basically people just trying to pay a compliment. It's not a very sophisticated way of paying a compliment, but that's all it is. And yet we've got these politicians that want to make that a hate crime, say that means that the person whistling hates the woman. I say it shows the opposite. Many activists have also been rather quiet about previous drifts towards censorship previously, when it was largely focused on the political right, with police in the UK in particular being infamous for chasing up so-called hate speech and non-crime hate incidents, both of which can ruin a person's employment prospects. Now, I think the police have been advised that with these non-crime hate incidents, they have to actually prove that there was an intent to incite hate there. They have to prove there was an intent. Whereas before, they didn't actually have to prove that, and it could just be that somebody said to the police, well, I think that was incitement to hate. So I think they have actually changed that, and this new online digital safety bill that they're bringing in, where they were going to have this new clause in there, legal but harmful speech, which would be completely lawful speech that the Home Secretary decided he didn't want or she didn't want people to hear, they've taken that out from that bill. So there have been a couple of pointers to them actually trying to protect free speech, but we still have actual hate speech laws, which outlaw incitement to hate, which means using abusive or insulting or threatening language towards anybody that is from a minority group. So long as we remember not to do that, we should stay within the law. But that is the concerns about free speech, not protesting and intending on causing a breach of the peace on the day of the coronation. As I say, you've got to think about the rights of the people who wanted to enjoy the coronation. that did not want to have it ruined by people who clearly don't understand what a monarchy is or what a hereditary title is, trying to say that he's not their king. He is the symbol of the unity of the United Kingdom, as we learned yesterday. And you can't change that because it's a hereditary title. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.